Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning. Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve, my friend and colleague here at the American Family Radio Network. And I'm going to share a little bit with you from 2 Timothy 3. And if you recognize my voice, it's probably from a show called Exploring the Word. Exploring the Word is heard 3 to 4 Central Time, 4 to 5 Eastern Time every afternoon. We've been live for 15 years. What an honor to be on AFA and AFR. And we're going to take calls this hour. I feel very privileged to be sitting in for Brother Jeff today. And I want to ask this question as we get into the scriptures in 2 Timothy 3. Where is history headed? Will time as we know it come to an abrupt end? Will Jesus literally return to earth? Now, what we're going to talk about is the world around us and where we're headed, honestly, spiritually, culturally, morally. Where is this nation headed, and what should believers do at these times? And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, very famous scripture, Paul writing to Timothy, this is part of something called the pastoral epistles, which 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, there's so much in there that is just really, really powerful. And yes, it does deal with the church and being a spiritual leader. Where's the church going? But there's a lot in there that is eschatological. Now, eschatology is the study of end times and last things. And before I give some scripture here, I want to give the number that I would like to take calls, and I'd like to hear from you about where you think we are in history and where are we headed. And the number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I got to say, last night we had a wonderful time. I wanted to mention this before I get too far into the Word. I had the privilege of speaking last night in Western North Carolina. It was a fundraising event for part of the Billy Graham ministry. And it was my great honor to be the speaker and talk about the urgency of the Great Commission at these times, and met a lot of people from mostly from like Charlotte and Western North Carolina, but people had driven up from all over the state to come to the event, and a lot of people were saying, oh my goodness, we love Exploring the Word. We love to hear you and Bert teach the Bible, and so I give God the glory for that. One other thing, though, I want to ask people for prayer, because starting next month, we begin our 7 youth camps that will go through August. And my own website, by the way, is alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com, and we've got youth camps in Montana, New Jersey, Indiana, Colorado, Texas, Georgia, Illinois, and we'll have roughly 1,200 middle school and high schoolers. I value your prayers as we teach kids about God and country. Obviously, the number one thing is to teach kids about the gospel and being born again and being a disciple. We also, one thing that's unique about what the Lord's had me to do through the years that I was a youth pastor in a church in North Carolina, and then our conferences and publishing, broadcasting, camps, events for the last 20 years, has been apologetics, defending the Christian faith. And I think that's a big part of what we need in this day and age. But let me read from 2 Timothy 3, and let's talk about history and where we are right now and where we may be headed. The Word of God says this in 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, this is quite a grocery list. I mean, you think about this, about the some of the attributes or the characteristics of the last days. Now, let me look at what comes before this, and let's go through this list, and you tell me if it seems like this is kind of where we are, because, you know, it goes on in 2 Timothy 2, Paul had basically challenged Timothy to be a good soldier of the cross, and I love this. Go back to 2 Timothy 2:2. And this is Paul telling Timothy what he as a minister of the gospel is to do. And I think that we as all Christians are to do this. The things you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, there is a word, a Greek word, paradosis. And I think it spells something like P-A-R-E-D-O-S-I-S, but it means the teachings. Now, what are, quote, the teachings that Paul had received, that Paul passed on, he's imparting to Timothy? And what's amazing is in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you have heard of me. Do you know what that word is? It's the word acousis, from which we get the word acoustic. You've heard that word. You know, they'll talk about the acoustics of a room, you know. Well, the things you have heard, the things you've learned, the things you've been taught, you are to pass on to others, impart to others. Now, what are some of the paradoses that comprise Christianity? And by the way, if you want to call in and we'll talk about this and where we are in history, the number is 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question about something related or maybe something you've heard Bert and I teach on exploring the Word, you're welcome to bring that to the table as well. But what are some of the teachings, quote-unquote, the teachings that go along with Christianity or really comprise Christianity? Well, that God exists, that the Bible is God's Word, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is not just a good man, but God incarnate, the Son of God. And by the way, that's one of the absolute unique things about Christianity, that God incarnated himself. God came onto the stage of human history. And Jesus is not just a good man, but the God-man. Jesus didn't just speak for the Lord. He spoke as the Lord. Isn't that amazing? The incarnation. And why is that so important? Well, in order to be our Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus had to be not only able to die on the cross, but willing to die on the cross. And he was both. Jesus was able and willing. So that's part of the paradosis, the teachings. And Jesus not only went to the cross, paid our sin debt, but rose from the dead. Now think about this. What does the resurrection tell us? Well, the resurrection, and we just celebrated Easter some weeks ago, but the resurrection validates the man and the message, who he was, what he taught. He is the Son of God. He did die on the cross, and our debt was fully paid. Now, this is important. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection makes salvation possible. But you putting your faith in Jesus makes salvation actual. Do you see that? Merely because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean that everybody's going to automatically go to heaven. You see, what we have to do, we have to be born again. Jesus said that to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Unless a man is born again. And by the way, that's a fascinating word. It's born from above. Look, everybody walking the earth was born as a human being. despite what wokeness says, we are not transhuman or Furbies or Ewoks or Jedis. No, we're human beings. And there's something ontologically fixed about what it means to be a human being. Humanity is not fluid. Gender is not fluid. There's just nothing you can do about it. If you're hearing this broadcast right now, you are a human being. And we are born from below by virtue of being physical humans. But Jesus said in John chapter 3, and this is part of the teachings, 2 Timothy 2:2, the paradosis, the core non-negotiables of Christianity. We must, if we would go to heaven, not hell, if you want to be with the Lord when you leave this world, Jesus said you must be born again. Now, it's interesting. The Greek word is anothen, A-N-O-T-H-E-N, born from above. And that's the very same word Luke used when he was writing Luke and Acts. And he said, having had perfect understanding, anothen, from above, from heaven, and from the Spirit. It's so beautiful. Just like the Spirit of God inspired the writers of the Bible. And Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke was a physician, and he said, having had understanding from the Spirit of God, from above. That's the wording Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. You must be born again, born from above. Of course, Nicodemus asked the question, well, how can an old man be born again? Must he a second time enter into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? The Spirit goes like the wind where it goes. Maybe even right now, let me just say this, folks, and I would be remiss if I didn't say this. Maybe you're thinking right now, where do you stand with God? And you're thinking you need to make sure that you have the Lord Jesus in your life and that you've been born again. Well, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you. It's certainly not the world, the flesh, or the devil. So if you are even desiring salvation and thinking about Christ, then you need to respond to that, because that's Jesus knocking at the door of your heart. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens up, I will come into him. Bert and I, on Exploring the Word, we often say this. I love to see people's countenance when they realize the truth of this. But Jesus is as close by as a prayer. Isn't that something? Jesus is as close by as a prayer right now. And to sort of tie a bow on 2 Timothy 2:2 and get back to 2 Timothy 3:1, the teachings, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:3-5. And by the way, this is some of the oldest part of the New Testament. Paul said, I delivered unto you that which I first received, how that Christ died, was buried according to the Scriptures, the third day rose again from the dead. See, Paul was imparting that to the church at Corinth. He's imparting it to Timothy, telling Timothy to share it with others. Just like you and I, we've got the gospel because somebody exposed us to it. And they had heard the gospel. You and I, who have found truth, we have a calling, a responsibility, a privilege to pass that on to others. Now, in these perilous times, more than ever, the world needs the gospel. The world needs timeless truth for these truthless times. Now, stay tuned. We've got a brief break. We're going to come back with more on the American Family Radio Network. Alex McFarland saying, stay tuned. We're back in just a moment. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland, very honored to be sitting in for Pastor Jeff Shreve. He's an excellent teacher, and I know that you probably enjoy Real Truth for Today as I do, and I just want to express what an honor it is to be sitting in. By the way, today on Exploring the Word, 3 to 4 Central Time on AFR, Bert and I today will be doing Fire Away Friday, and that's all questions, all the hour on Fire Away Friday. Hope you'll tune in. We're talking about the perilous times of 2 Timothy 3, talking about the core teachings. And we're going to get to some calls. By the way, the number is 888-589-8840. And I hope these truths are real in your life. I hope there's been a time when you have said yes to Jesus and been born again, and then as a Christian, daily growing in His Word. You know, I really think that the Scripture in the life of a believer is like nutrition in the life of an athlete. Just like to be physically fit, you need exercise and good nutrition. Just to be spiritually fit, you need the Word of God and walking in the Spirit, like the Bible tells us to do. But we're going to begin with Linda in South Carolina. Linda, thanks for holding. Welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Thank you. Interesting topic, very timely.
Thank you.
Looking at the list of things of perilous times there in 2 Timothy 3, we're in that, in the middle of it all, as I know other generations have felt they have been too, but I think we're closer and closer than anyone has ever been up until today. When you read about what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah and so many other places, that just seems almost tame to what we're going through today.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I remember, let me say this, and by the way, you make great points, and I appreciate you saying it. Folks, you got to understand, I read in the news yesterday that in a public school, I'm trying to remember if it was in Connecticut, it was in New England, this would be easy to find, but a drag queen was reading to second graders and teaching them to say, from the river to the sea, Gaza must be free. In other words, imagine this. In a public school, a male dressed as a woman, a drag queen, was reading a story about queer there and everywhere. And then getting the class of children, elementary school students, to chant about an anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, pro-terrorist mantra. Now, why are we not, every pastor in this nation, arranging all-night prayer vigils? I mean, so to your point, we've got to be in the last days, folks. This is not just, you know, mere sin and sinners. This is apostasy. This is rampant darkness. This is Satan in high gear. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. I mean, and looking in verse 2, just the very first part, men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's all about me. That's what people are looking at today. And so many preachers in churches today are catering to that as well, because they're doing all these feel-good messages. They're not teaching all of God's Word and being truthful about what we're facing and how people are living and how deceived people are. I mean, we can go on. When you're talking about the schools and what's going on there, parents also have a responsibility there in teaching their kids about what's right. But it's not being done, and I don't understand why, as Christians, we're not being more vocal and expressing what God's Word says and teaching what God's Word says. We can't just leave it up to the preachers and the Sunday school teachers. We have been charged to carry out the Great Commission, so we have that on our shoulders as well. But too many Christians have been silent for too long, and we've got to start calling out all of these like this list here in 2 Timothy, mm-hmm. we've got to let people know this is wrong. It is not following God's word, and that's what we have got to do. If we ever want to get to heaven, we've got to do this. And if we want to make our world better, we have to do this. And I'm just looking at this list and just shaking my head at, that's where we are. And too many people are just sitting back.
Have you noticed, and I got saved in the mid-1980s, and I remember the church where I came to the Lord, Macedonia Baptist Church in rural North Carolina, we would have revivals. And I mean, preachers, they laid the cards on the table. They called out sin. And it seems like preachers are just too sweet these days. There are so many, I don't hear the kind of revival preaching, conviction of sin, repent, turn to Christ while you have the opportunity. I just don't hear that kind of preaching anymore. Do you?
No, if I go to church and my toes haven't been stepped on multiple times, I think, well, did I really go to church today? What did I just sit through and listen to?
Yes.
But my toes need to be mashed. And that's why I like to go on Sunday and Wednesday, is to get my toes mashed to keep me in line.
We need it, don't we?
I do. I certainly do. I've been saved for longer than you've been alive. But it's not always been an easy walk. There's always someone out there in opposition. But we've got to just stand strong and let people know what we stand for, what God's Word says, and why Amen. The way that this world is going has got to change.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your stand for Christ. Thank you for calling in. And folks, we're in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And I believe this list describes the times in which we live. And we're in the last days. Christ is coming. And we need to stand strong more so than ever. Thank you so much. God bless you. Let's go to Texas, one of my favorite places in the world. Texas, Bobby, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Alex, and I enjoy listening to you and AFR, and this is Bobby Joe.
Bobby Joe, one of our long time, you're like family to us, dear brother.
Yeah, I'm coming to visit one of these days, Lord willing. But I just got done in the book of Genesis, and it just was so prevalent, sir, to have you expound and draw pictures with your words for all of us to see the gospel in Joseph, that story, that truth that Jesus and Joseph is just a almost complete mirror of how God works and how we work, how we do stupid things, and God can use all of it. And I'll hang up and let you expound on that.
Well, Bobby Joe, I got to tell you something, man. This is wonderful. I'm going to be in Texas June 7 through 9. There's I believe it's Rose Heights Church in Lindale, Texas. I think it is. Is that anywhere near you? To be honest, I don't know where Lindale, Texas is, but I'm going to be there. Is that near you, Bobby Joe?
I'm not 100% sure, Alex, but I'll definitely put it on my calendar and make the trip, because Texas ain't that big. I could be there.
Oh, my word. Listen to this. Let me tell you how big Texas is. I was in Amarillo preaching a year or two ago, and I'm always interested in talking to people. And I had been to Texarkana, which is on the eastern side of the state, and this gentleman in Amarillo was telling me that he was in the insurance business, and that their Chicago office served Texarkana because it was closer to go Chicago to Texarkana than Amarillo to Texarkana. Now, that is big. I tell people the Lord must love Texas because he made a lot of it. But, hey, listen, on my website, alexmcfarland.com, on the travel schedule, you'll see where I'm going to be. But Bobby Joe, to your question, parallels between Joseph and Jesus. By the way, this is fascinating, folks, because and the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. That's Genesis 37 through 45, and then Genesis 50. And of course, very famously in Genesis 50, you know, Joseph's brothers, they didn't like him. They kidnapped him. They threw him in a hole in the ground, going to let him die. Then they said, oh, wait a minute. We could have sold him to these Ishmaelite gypsies. So they sell him into slavery. Their brother sell him into slavery. Then he goes down and he winds up, you know, working for Potiphar in Egypt. And Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him. He gets thrown in prison. And then there's coming a famine, 7 years of just hard famine. And Pharaoh uses Joseph. Now think about this. And Joseph saves the world, literally. The first rationing in world history, Joseph does. Then Joseph's family comes down from Canaan because they're starving, and they get reunited, and Joseph becomes the second in command to lead Egypt in the world. Ultimately, in Genesis 50, when he's reunited with his brothers, Joseph says, and they're very repentant by that point, but he says, look, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Now, in one of my books, and I wrote a book on the life of Joseph, and you can find it online. Here's the thing, folks. This is amazing, because Joseph in the book of Genesis is what we call a type, T-Y-P-E. Now, what does this mean? See, through the Old Testament, God sprinkled in clues to help pious Jews figure out when Jesus came, oh, he must be the Messiah. I mean, think about this. In Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. Galatians 4:4 says Jesus was born in the fullness of time, born of a woman. And that was at a time, very patriarchal culture, when they would have said, you know, the seed of the man. So virgin born. And then, like David was a shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Solomon, king of Israel, was wise, but in Jesus dwelt all the wisdom. So there were all these types, right? Well, Joseph, think about this. Joseph was misunderstood and rejected by his brothers. Jesus, his brothers, before they recognized that he was truly the Son of God, said he's mad, he's beside himself. Joseph emerged alive from an intended grave. Jesus emerged alive from an intended grave. Joseph was sold for the price of a slave in his day, 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for the price of a slave in his day, 30 pieces of silver. Of Joseph, Pharaoh said, whatever he says, do it. Mary said of Jesus, whatever he says, do it. Think about this. Joseph gave a banquet, was reunited with his family, and at the banquet gave gifts. Jesus is having the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to be reunited with all of his family, the born-again believers, and at the marriage supper of the Lamb, you will give gifts. And it's just amazing. Out of 7 years of famine, those who knew Joseph were saved, provided for. Out of 7 years of tribulation, those who know Jesus will be spared, cared for, and saved. So, you know, the typology, Bobby Joe, to your question, is striking. And Joseph is just one. And let me give one last thing. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's from Psalm 22:1. Now follow this, folks, and we're going to take more calls. I know we've got a break, but the number is 888-589-8840. Psalm 22, which is really like a picture of the crucifixion. And Psalm 22, by the way, was written about 1000 BC. Now, historians believe this was 400 years before crucifixion existed as a means of execution. And yet in Psalm 22, it talks about they pierced my hands and my feet, Psalm 22:16. A worm, verse 6 of Psalm 22, it talks about my bones are pulled out of joint, verse 14. Now, you can imagine, and I'm talking about typology here, the psalmist in 1000 B.C., crucifixion didn't even exist yet. My heart is like wax. My bones are pulled out of joint. They pierced my hands and my feet. You know, I'm sure the scribes copying this, they thought, okay, don't know what this means, but it's the word of God. We're going to write it down as given, right? Now, about 600 B.C., 400 years later, the Phoenicians would invent crucifixion. Jesus quotes Psalm 22:1 from the cross. It's almost like pious Jews, if you want to understand what you're seeing here, Psalm 22, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Jesus, he is the subject of Scripture. I hope he's the subject of your life and your Savior as well. Stay tuned. Alex McFarland here. This is Truth for Today, and we're going to come back and we'll continue talking about these last days, the perilous times that are upon us. We'll take calls as well. Alex McFarland sitting in for Jeff Shreve. Honored to be with you this morning. Stay tuned to the American Family Radio Network. We're back after this brief break.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're all set for a great day and a great weekend. Hope you'll be in church on Sunday somewhere where the Word of God is preached. And I want to say what an honor it is to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve, Alex McFarland here. And by the way, I will be tonight on the Hamilton Corner. Abe Hamilton is traveling, and I've got the privilege of sitting in. And tonight, the show, we're going to talk about anti-Semitism. You know, it's so much in the news these days, it really just makes my heart heavy about how much animosity and just venom is expressed against the Jewish people, and that's just very unfortunate. In Genesis 12, 1 and 2, God told Abraham, and Genesis 18, 18 as well, God said that he would make of his descendants a great nation. And the Bible says regarding our relationship with the Jewish people, I will bless them that bless thee and curse those who curse thee. That's why I've said many times the greatest favor any American president could do the nation is to be a good friend to Israel. And my goodness, all over the news these days, there's anti-Semitism. So I'm doing a show tonight on anti-Semitism. It'll be on the Hamilton Corner this evening. Hope you'll tune in. So we're going to take some more calls. We're talking about the last days. We're going to go to Texas, Ellis. In Texas, Ellis, thanks for holding and welcome to the program.
The comment and the question to you, Alex, is there's a controversy over grammar, Greek grammar, of Revelation, and it's over, is it its name or his name? And in the Englishman's New Testament, done around the 1870s, 1880s, in England, brought to America by George Ricker Berry, it has it as its name in the different verses. And also, Bible Hub in Interlinear also is portraying it as its name, not his name. Of course, here's wisdom, it's the number of a man. Everyone knows the number of a man is 6. You do 6, 12, 18. After you put a J and alter the name of Jesus, put a J in our different alphabets of different European languages, then computer does turn out to be 666. At this point, I'm a little older than you. I can't rent a car anymore. I can't rent a forklift anymore. There may be some places I can't go, like a hotel and motel. Some of them maybe not anymore. So if there was no mark of the beast, if we just had cashless society and credit cards and debit cards, they could just say you need 12 vaccinations, not 6. They could transhuman us in those vaccinations. This is, I believe, where we're at.
Yeah. So, are you asking like in Revelation 14:11, those who worship the beast and have his mark or receive the mark? Are you asking is it a he or an it?
Well, the people who are going with it are sometimes in these different verses, they're taking a neuter word that happens before the autos word, which is
I'm looking at that,
him.
Yeah.
Normally of him. I think that in some of these other verses, they're seeing this as that, changing that as a Greek grammar rule, that would be of its name. So.
Right.
That's the argument that's proposed. So,
And this is good. Ellis, thanks for bringing this up. This is really good. Let me give you a little bit of backstory here. And by the way, I believe that there is actually a literal Antichrist coming. There will be a man, and I think it will probably be a part Jewish gay man. Or at least bisexual, because let me say this, and we could do an entire show on the identity of the Antichrist, but the Antichrist is going to be a fake Messiah. You know, 1 John 2 says this, that like 1 John 2:18, these are the last days. You have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. So there is going to be this Antichrist. One of the things the Bible says that he will not recognize the God of his fathers, nor have the desire of women. Now, does that mean he'll just be so hyper career driven? Marriage won't be a part of his, agenda. Look, and this gets back to the 2 Timothy 3 about without natural affection. Now, we're living in such a time that there's been the attempt to blur sexuality. Globally, the falsely named human rights campaign has promoted homosexuality, now transgenderism. So I think this Antichrist, and Ellis, to your question, it will be a male, but probably a bisexual or transsexual, probably part Jewish. But regarding in Revelation 14 and 13, now why some translations would say it rather than he, I don't know, because the part of speech is autou, as the caller correctly mentioned. Now, this is a personal pronoun that can be masculine. And, you know, I'm looking at the Greek New Testament right now, his image. And I know it can be rendered it. You know, it's like you could use a pronoun, a neuter or masculine, for an object or a person. But I think most precisely and most correctly, we should say he, because this mark, according to Revelation 13, 16 through 18, must be shown to buy or sell or transact business. The mark will consist either of the name of the beast, Antichrist, or the number 666. That's Revelation 14, 11. And, you know, as we're getting into this time where people want to live in a cashless society. See, I still carry cash. Now, I have a credit card because you have to have that to rent a car. And, you know, but I'll be in airports, and they'll more and more airports will say they don't accept cash. And, folks, what am I saying here? I'm saying, look, the chess pieces are on the table. Israel is in their land. There's been a global abolition of morals. Christianity is more and more almost criminalized. And if you call out sin and tell lost people to repent, it's getting to where that's nearly illegal. And as we are with cryptocurrency, they're wanting to go to one global unit of currency. Folks, have your house in order. The Lord could come back at any time. And it says in Revelation 14, 11, by the way, and I want to get to another call, all those who receive this mark, and will it be a chip under the skin? Will it be like a tattoo that's invisible, but you run your hand under a scanner? You know, there's a thing I've seen in some airports now where, look, you just walk in, they've got like a convenience store in an airport with a little gate. You just walk in, and the chip in your credit card is scanned by Wi-Fi or something. You just go go in, get what you want, and walk out, and you look, and it'll be on your credit card. Now, I don't do that, but I watch people do it. Imagine if there's an invisible you know, electrically sensitive tattoo on your skin or your forehead, and the scanner just photographs you. You walk in, get what you want. It's debited from your cryptocurrency online account. The Bible says that the final judgment, the great white throne judgment, all those who received the mark of the beast will be, quote, tormented with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Revelation 14, 11. Folks, you better decide now. Are you going to stand for Christ with truth against sin and the world? Are you going to cave in? And, you know, back to the 2 Timothy 3, 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of thereof, from such turn away. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of denominations, and they go through the motions. They're still occupying what once were vibrant church buildings, but they are no more scriptural than the World Economic Forum. And so, folks, we've got to lovingly but firmly, decisively, unapologetically say, I stand with the Lord Jesus. I stand with the Word of God. I will not be woke. I will not cave in. I will not be politically correct. You can receive it or reject it, but we stand on Jesus, His Word, the shed blood of Calvary, which alone can wash sin away. And we will not take any mark or any thing mandated by a lost world. We stand for our Savior, and we will not budge. I mean, the time to make that delineation in your heart is now. Randall in North Carolina. Randall, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program. Alex McFarland here. What you got, Randall? Hey, Randall. Randall, are you there? Randall, one more time. Going once, going twice. Randall, okay. If you come on, we'll do our best to get you on the program. But let me go back for just a second to the 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul told Timothy, and listen to these words, very wonderful. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Heard, commit, teach. It's very interesting. The word heard is acousis, to properly listen. Commit, parathou, to set close beside. Paradosis. Well, parathou, the teachings that we set close beside. Isn't that something? We've heard these things. We commit these things. We teach. And I know you probably have heard the word didache, the teachings. The way it's rendered in the Greek is didaxai, to impart knowledge, to disseminate information. In a way, that's the mission of every church and every Christian. 2 Timothy 2:2. Hear, commit, teach. Folks, you've heard the gospel. Christ died for you. Are you committed to it? Have you set these things close beside? And then, are you growing and are you passing those on? I'm going to come back to that, but I want to get Scott's call in. Scott from Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
God bless you. Appreciate all you do.
Blessings. What you got, Scott?
Okay. It has to do actually with, the truth that biblically major cities and empires from the past would all have walls to protect themselves. And I just wanted to know your take, because the southern border I live in Texas, so I could tell you it's a lot of the things happening are worse than what you see. The news doesn't present all the truth.
Right.
Would you agree, hey, this as a nation, we should have that kind of security, the walls, just for an example. In this case, Texas. But there is a biblical mandate for that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We as a nation should have a secure border. And Scott, in the interest of time, thank you for calling in. I wish we had more time. But let me say this, folks. Do not give one bit of credence to the bleeding heart, crocodile tears, liberal pastors that say we should have open borders to look after the sojourner in our land. Now, should we have charity? Of course, and we do. Should we engage in benevolence? But folks, we as a nation, we have legal, orderly immigration processes. Look, even God's city in Revelation 21 and 22, the New Jerusalem, has walls and gates. Even the heavenly city, the holy city of God, has walls. It is absolutely unjust and unbiblical that the border be open, that more millions have come in under President Biden than the population of 36 states. Any government that's a just government will look after the welfare of its legal citizens that pay taxes. So an open border, that's not biblical, that's not just. Folks, I want to say, Alex McFarland here. Thanks for listening. My website, alexmcfarland.com. I'll be on with Bert today, exploring the Word. Folks, keep us in prayer. I want to say thank you for listening to the American Family Radio Network. Stand strong for truth. Stay bold. Keep your eyes on the eastern sky. Jesus is coming. Let's be ready, and let's help others find him as well. May the Lord bless you in all things.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.